This morning we'd like to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. A week from Sunday, I'll look to see these for these bumper stickers on your card. Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Back in the Old Testament, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and he said, I am God Almighty. The Hebrew is El Shaddai, God Almighty. And God established a covenant with Abram, and he promised that he would multiply his descendants exceedingly, that Abram would become a father of many nations, that kings would descend from him, and that he would be a God to Abram and to his descendants. Now, the sign of that covenant was that Abram was to circumcise the male children on the eighth day after their birth. And God said, now don't call your wife Sarai anymore, but call her Sarah, which means princess. And God promised that it was through Sarah that a son would be born, that would become the heir. When God said that, Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. He said, can a son be born to a woman who is 90 years old and I'm almost 100? And God said to Abram, Sarah shall indeed bear a son, and when he is born, call him Laughter, because Abraham had laughed at how incredulous this promise of God seemed. But God had said, I am El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient God. The word El means strength in Hebrew. The word for God is the word strength. And the word Shaddai comes from a root word, shad, which is breast. And the idea is that of a woman nursing a child, and the child receiving from the mother nourishment, receiving strength, receiving life. And so God pictures himself to us as one who gives us nourishment, one who strengthens us, one who gives us life. I am God Almighty, or it would better be translated, I am the all-sufficient God. And you'll find that in some of your new translations. I am the all-sufficient God. Now, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he talked about what the Lord expects and wants us to be. Paul said, you are like an open book. You are like a letter that is open and is read by all men, so that your life should be to the world a reflection of what God is. Some people, the only Bible they will ever read is your life. And they will develop their impressions of God by what they see in you. Paul said, you are a living letter. You are known and read by all men. So that as your life being an example to the world of what God is, of his love, of his goodness, of his grace, when you start thinking about that, you no doubt with Paul say, who is sufficient for these things? Who in the world could ever live like that? That his life becomes a representation of God to the world around him. Who is sufficient for these things? And so Paul then declares our sufficiency is of God. He's probably thinking of this incident with Abram when God said, I am God all-sufficient, the all-sufficient God. Your life is turning people on or is turning people off from God. People are being drawn to God, have a desire to know God by what they see in you, or they're being turned away from God and really don't want anything to do with him because of what they see in you. Your life is a living letter, known and read of all men. Who is sufficient for these things? It's come to our attention that sometimes the ushers here at Calvary are a little harsh as they seek to enforce certain of the rules that we've established here at the church. Sometimes they've made smart or snide remarks. Now, these do not truly reflect what is our desire at Calvary Chapel. A lot of people get their impression of Calvary Chapel from the encounter with the ushers or with others that are here, sometimes the assistant pastors. It's our desire that Calvary Chapel be known as a very loving church. Our desire that people are attracted by the love that God has worked in our hearts. And it is painful whenever we hear of people being offended because of a careless remark of one of the pastors or one of the ushers. And that doesn't truly represent my heart and my desire. Many, of course, of those who were offended because they did not wish to conform to the rules. They refused to respond to the requests that were made by the ushers, and that can't be helped. But many times, both parties fail to really be a true example of what Jesus is. And a person who is watching and reading the situation may get a wrong impression of God. This is why Paul said, who's sufficient for these things? I realize that I'm not sufficient. Many times as people read me, I'm certain they're getting a wrong impression of God. Those who cut in front of me on the freeway get a wrong impression of God. Paul declared our sufficiency is not of ourselves. I think that it is an important thing that all of us come to the realization that we're not perfect. Now, I hate to disappoint you, but you're not perfect. I know that's difficult for some of you to accept. When you're as faulty as I am, it's a lot easier to acknowledge I'm not perfect. You see, the problem with a person who thinks he's perfect, who thinks he has yet to make his first mistake, he sees no need of improvement. They feel that they are never wrong. I personally have a hard time with such people. Paul wrote to the Galatians, if a man thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he's deceiving himself. Not deceiving his wife, not deceiving his friends. He's the only one that's deceived when he thinks that he is something and in reality he's nothing. When you recognize your inabilities, your insufficiency, it sort of forces you and causes you to lean upon God for his all-sufficiency. Paul said, we don't think anything as of ourselves. In other words, if there's anything that is worthwhile or of good of my life, it's not of me, it's that which God has wrought in me. He said, what do you have and referring to something which is good or decent, he said, what do you have but what you have received? If you've received it, then why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? Anything of worth or value in my life has come from God, the all-sufficient one, who has helped to make up for my mistakes and my inefficiency. There are those who say, well, I am able, and any time I want, I can do it. I don't need the help of others. I am self-sufficient. There are those who teach us to rely upon that inward strength. Look within yourself and discover that inward strength and power. The Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches us to look without ourselves to the sufficiency of God, to the strength and the power that he gives to those that are weak. But from the time we're little children, we're sort of taught to be self-reliant, self-sufficient. When you were very little, you were introduced to the little red train that made it over the top of the hill because it kept saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And it did. As you got a little older, you perhaps were introduced to the poem by Edward Guest. They said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied, maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he had tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, but he did it. I like the parody that was written on that poem that said, they said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he had tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done. And you know what? It couldn't. No, you're not sufficient for everything. No matter how resourceful or strong you might be, you're going to come to a situation in life that's going to be beyond you when you're going to have to seek help beyond your own abilities or strength. As we got into high school, we were then introduced to William Henley and his Invictus. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds me and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I like much better what Dorothy Day wrote in the verse called My Captain. Out of the light that dazzles me, bright as the sun from pole to pole, I thank the God I know to be for Christ, the conqueror of my soul. Since he controls my circumstance, I would not wince nor cry aloud. Under his rule, which men call chance, my head with joy is humbly bowed. Beyond this place of sin and tears, that life with him and with his aid, despite the menace of the years, he keeps my soul. I'm unafraid. I have no fear, though straight the gate. He cleared the punishment of the scroll. Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul. We're not sufficient in ourselves. Paul said, but our sufficiency is of God. Look how limited our self-sufficiency is. You don't have to go very far down the path until you find your limits. How many people have fallen and are being held by the power and the grip of sin today? They've tried their best to quit. They've promised. They've cried. They've resolved, only to go back to that sin that is destroying them. We had a very sad and tragic experience this week. A memorial service for a young lady who just recently accepted Jesus Christ. She had been addicted to heroin. And she decided that she would go into a halfway house and get clean and follow after Jesus Christ. Never touch the stuff again. And Monday, she was to check into the halfway house. But Saturday, she decided to have just one more hit before checking in and cleaning up. She overdosed. We had her memorial service this week. Like so many people, there was the desire, there was the determination. I'm going to be different. I'm going to change. I'm going to do it. And you make your promises that you're going to do it, you're going to change, you're going to be different, only to discover that we don't have the sufficiency within ourselves to keep our promises or our vows or the resolutions that we make. But when God is your sufficiency, then there's no limit to the power and the capacity and the ability that you have, because now you're trusting in Him. And there is no limits to God's ability to help those who call upon Him and those who trust in Him. His grace has no measure. His love has no limits. His power has no boundary known to man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He gives and He gives and He gives again. Paul said, our sufficiency is of God. When God called Moses to go to the Pharaoh and demand that he release the people of Israel from their captivity, Moses said, oh Lord, I can't do that. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I have a speech impediment. I can't do that. And the Lord said, who made your mouth? He said, go, and I will be with you. That was the answer to the cry of, I can't do it. I'm not sufficient. The confession, I'm not able. God's answer to Moses was, I'll be with you. I'll be with your mouth. When God called Jeremiah and told him to go and prophesy to the nation and warn them of the judgment of God that is going to come upon them, Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, I can't speak. I'm only a child. And God's response was, don't be afraid. I am with you, and I will deliver you. You see, every cry of ours, of our inability, our insufficiency, God answers by, I will. be with you. The strength, the sufficiency of God. True, we can't do it ourselves. True, we are weak. But yet, Paul said, I will glory in my weakness, because when I am weak, then am I strong. For God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. God is calling us today to be his witnesses, that our lives be a reflection of him to the world, that as they read us, they will know the truth of God's love and grace and power. But many of us, like Moses, or like Jeremiah, are saying, oh, Lord God, I can't do that. I don't have the ability. Lord, I'm not sufficient for that. But God is saying, I will be with you. And I will make up that which you lack. Your sufficiency is of me. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Recognizing our insufficiency. But Paul responded, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. When your sufficiency is of God, then nothing is impossible. You can conquer the highest mountain. You can go through the swirling floods. There's nothing that can come into your life but what you will be able to overcome and to conquer with the help and the strength of God when you rely upon him for his sufficiency. As we read in Isaiah this morning, he gives power to the faint. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then I like what God said in the 10th verse of the next chapter, fear not, for I am with thee. That's the answer, the presence of God. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. My insufficiency should never be used as an excuse for indolence. I can't just lie back and say, oh, I just can't do it. I'm insufficient. If God wants it done, he's just going to have to do it. God wants me to step out in faith, knowing that I can't do it myself, but trusting in his all-sufficiency to make up for my inability. Knowing that his strength will be made perfect in my weakness, and believing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who is sufficient for these things? We don't have the sufficiency in ourselves. Not that we think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Father, we thank you for the greatness of your power. We look at the universe, and as we read, you measured it out with a span. You weighed the waters in the balance of your hand. There is no God like you. And we thank you that you have promised to give us your strength. your help, your power. And so, Lord, as we face life and the many vicissitudes, uncertainties, hardships, we look to you, Lord, for your strength to see us through. And we recognize that we can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who is our strength, who is our help, through whom we gain the sufficiency that we need. Help us, Lord, as we go out to face this week. With some, there's tremendous fear, and trepidation, because this promises to be a tough week. There's a lot of uncertainties out there, some heavy things that have to be dealt with. And Lord, they're feeling the weakness right now. As they're looking at what's ahead and what they're facing, in their heart they're saying, oh, who's sufficient for these things? But may they, Lord, discover your sufficiency, your help. Be with them, Lord. Let them experience your presence. And let them experience your sufficiency and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? The word shad, El Shaddai, breast, nursing. God is just saying, look, come to me. Draw from me life, nourishment, strength. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the all-sufficient one. I'm able to deliver you. I'm able to set you free. I'm able to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Draw from me. And may we this week, as we're facing problems that seem to overwhelm, may we learn to draw from him that nourishment, that strength that will see us through. The young men may faint and become weary, but they that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, trust in the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want, David said, to those who trust in him. He is sufficient for whatever you are going to face now or in the future. Learn to rely upon his sufficiency.